And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two. Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network. Man, we're having such a great time. Captain Mike Pritchard from the Tribute. We're talking fishing, talking bluefin, and, man, having a great time doing it.
Yeah, indeed. And, boy, Mike just sweetened the pot, didn't he?
Yeah.
Talking about Captain Buzz, he got a little nostalgic there. Made him feel good, right?
That was awesome. So, originally, the prize was an overnight trip going fishing on the Tribute, which that still exists, but there's a much better upgrade possibility. And if you want to go fishing right now and take advantage
tonight.
Of the amazing weather, there is a trip tonight going fishing with Buzz. It's a day and a half, not an overnight. And
so you get back on Tuesday morning.
Yep. And if you
perfect
can,
weather.
If you can pull that off, you get to go on that trip and bring your fishing buddy with you. Bring your wife, bring your girl, bring your bro, whatever it is. You're going to go fishing, both of you, on that day and a half trip on the Tribute, leaving tonight fishing with Captain Buzz. What a cool opportunity that is.
Very nice of you. And if you can't make tonight, then you'll just have to opt for a day trip at some point.
Yeah, which
down
is awesome.
Yeah, which
I
is
think
really
you should
nice.
Probably go tonight.
I agree, man. I think you're crazy
I
if you don't. No doubt.
I'm texting Jeff Yamati.
Saving their spot.
As we, because I mean, like I said, this will leave seven spots left for tonight's trip. But I wanted to make sure that the landing knows
didn't
about this
out.
Before.
Just tell that Marcos on the radio guy.
I'm sure he's listening.
Oh,
Marcos,
yeah.
You're sitting there. Just make sure we save two spots for tonight.
There you go. All right.
Says somebody out there is going to call in and. You know, they're going to call in sick tomorrow.
Yeah,
or,
exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, it's
or somebody.
It's the fall, man. Yeah, everybody deserves it. Well, again, if you want to get your shot at that fantastic prize, or better yet, your chance to talk to Mike, talk some fishing, talk the Tribute with us, give us a call, 833-288-0973. Again, 833-288-0973. That's how you reach us on Let's Talk Hookup. Or text the show. It's been a very busy, we got a lot of great texts stacked up, and we'll look forward to doing all of those. But, hey, let's continue on with the catch report and talk to the surf guru himself. Gundy Gunderson is on the line. What's up, Gundy?
Hey, how's it going, gents?
Doing great. Good
morning.
A couple Dipmars up here. I think the Seahorse and the Thunderbird. I think there's two Dipmars here.
Yeah, there's a lot of those around.
Yep.
You know what really would have been cool to watch them driving down Newport Boulevard when they launched
love
them, right?
Those stories.
Or how about just walking up while they're building them and smelling all the mahogany?
The mahogany, yeah. No kidding.
No doubt.
Hey, Costa Mesa was a bustling boat building in the day, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, hey, we digress. I got, you know, last week I thought maybe I'd be sweeping up after the parade this week, but actually some good catches made. We had the weather. We had the temperature drop, but then kind of a stabilizing. And, you know, like you said, Pete, we got warm weather in the forecast. So despite the weather early in the week and the temperature drop, still some good catches were made. Some of the better fishing has been the cooler water species starting to develop, like the perch and the halibut. And hook, line, and sinker reported good perch catches all along the stretch up there. Carpinteria and Silver Strand were two of the better spots. Most of the fish around that one-pound mark with a few kickers there to a pound and a half. Gulp sandworms, lugworms, the top bait. Still some halibut catches there off Goleta. Wiley's held another uptown derby this week. They didn't break that two-pound mark. Most of the perch were up to a pound and a quarter. They didn't really stick any of the bigger ones. Lugworms, shrimp, and ghost shrimp were the top bait. And in fact, the ghost shrimp caught the catch of a day, an eight-pound spot fin croaker taken off Oxnard up there.
Yo,
all the guys for perch. That's a monster fish, and that's pretty northerly for a big spot fin. That's a hell of a catch.
Yeah.
Jet fishing reported a few late-season corvina taken there off Torrance Beach. A 3-pound, 10-ounce fish was taken on a bloodworm. The bonita still in and around King Harbor. Big fish reported lots of bonita inside L.A. Harbor. The fish been popping up off the Belmont Pier, Seal Beach Pier, near Wilmington, they said. Splasher rigs with a feather. Spoons have been the best bait. Hogan's reported Bonita's still biting off the San Clemente Pier. They had some catches yesterday and Friday. Small Colt snipers, bubbling fly rigs working well. Big Bonita this week off the San Clemente Pier, an 8-pounder. So still some catches there. Pacific Coast reported Morgan Halvey catches in the lagoon. The bait bite's been best with cut anchovy, live smelt, the top producers. The main channels near the mouths have been best. The 12-pound fish, I think, was taken yesterday there on a live smelt. And still some bonita catches off the Oceanside Pier. So I wouldn't quit on it yet. I think we have some nice weather this week. And it's
not a lot of surf, so, yeah, it's time to go surf fishing, right?
Always something to catch, as we say, Pete.
Yeah, indeed. Thanks, Gundy Gunderson, surf guru extraordinaire. We appreciate that very much. And we'll talk to you next Sunday.
I'm enjoying the show. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right.
Thanks, Gundy.
Appreciate that.
Well, that's going to wrap us up today. Again, Gamakatsu Nautilus hooks have been a go-to hook this season for Tuma. From the Gamakatsu Nautilus Lite, the standard Nautilus, or that brand-new Nautilus HD, Gamakatsu has got you covered. They have the right size, ring or no ring, tie it on and be ready to get bit. Stock up on Gamakatsu Nautilus Circle hooks at your favorite tackle store.
Indeed. Phones are packed. Let's jump into it, Rick.
Sounds good, buddy. Bud in San Diego is up next on Let's Talk Hookup. What's up, Bud?
Hey, just having a great morning with you guys. I wanted to echo the captain's recommendation about Pokey, the skipjack. It was really good. But another one for whitefish, if you're really a whitefish eater, is Barracuda. A lot of people don't think that's a good fish, but oh. I'm telling you, as a privateer, I'm happy to reel those things over, but clean them and ice them fast.
You know, I had tons of texts this morning about, Skipjack makes the best poke, including Bart Hall.
Yeah,
and said,
before he called in, I was just thinking, I can't believe you haven't had Skipjack.
I threw him back.
Jeff from Sushi on a Roll texted us via the Let's Talk Hookup back, our good buddy Jeff Roberto, saying, that's it, A number one,
a
sushi.
They're not going back anymore.
Yeah, right.
No, and same thing with Barracuda. I mean, it's just a different day and age.
Yeah.
I mean, the days of stepping over, walking on top of the gunny sacks, full of, you look back then, whether it was Bonito, Barracuda, Albacore, whatever, and mashing them into the gunny sack to where you'd rather eat the gunny sack than the fish. It's not like that anymore. He's saying, Barracuda is, right before we started running, there was really good Barracuda fishing at the point, and I went out with the crew. We were in the middle of boat work. Todd from the Voyager is leaving. I go, where are you going? He goes, dude, the Barracuda are biting. I said, all right, guys, put away the sanders. Let's go. We went out, and we had really good Barracuda fishing and brought them home and made Barracuda tacos, and they're so good.
It's the way you handle it, right?
All that matters is how they are taken care of.
And same with Bonito, right?
Great. I know. Yeah. I keep looking at that thing on the wall. And, it's funny. I know my girlfriend Melissa's listening, and I'm pretty sure as soon as we get done here, she's going to be like, we're having pokey for dinner.
Let's make this happen.
We've been doing a keto diet lately, and, you do a pokey in an avocado, which is really good, or on salad. I've been doing cauliflower rice. It's not the worst thing to eat healthy when there's pokey involved, because it just changes everything.
Yeah. Now, that Bonito on the wall in my office here has a little history to it. It was a skin mount from Lions and O'Haver, and it's kind of like a little, that's why it kind of looks a little crashed. Yeah. And I caught that when I was 7 years old off of Point Loma, and my dad had it mounted, and it was like biggest thing I ever caught when I was a little kid. And
big game fishing as a kid.
And it was just thrashed, because it was a skin mount over the years. And Chuck Byron, when he was alive, saw it and says, I'm going to fix that up for you. He painted it,
fixed it all up, and everything.
So that's kind of my
right
Chuck
there.
Byron memorial there.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, for sure. That's a little history on there.
I dig it.
Lions and O'Haver is gone.
Yes. Yeah.
That's sad. I have a boar mount and my first San Diego buck. And I know, because somebody had asked a while ago, and it was on one of the Facebook pages, who do you recommend? And I said, Lions and O'Haver. They're like, they're gone. I was like, no way.
Yeah.
One of the best mounts. I mean.
Oh, there's nothing like them.
With a lot of legwork, you can still get one done. But it's just a lot. I mean, it's no longer
gotta
like
find
going
the right guys.
No, I mean, you can get a lion. So the story that I got was, they sold all their molds to some outfit on the East Coast. You can still get a mold from one of theirs popped out, sent back to here, and then, you know, through enough tracking down, you can get one of their painters to paint it for you, like, in the garage kind of
Which,
thing.
That's the real art.
I think you got a name drop, Rick.
Yeah. Just tell them you know Rock on Rick, and you're good.
We were talking about the same thing, because every mount inside of Fisherman's Landing, as with Seaforth, I think, the same. They're all lines. You know, hey,
everyone.
And there is nothing better. Yeah. And I know the guys from Into the Depth Sport Fishing caught that 370-pound bluefin, and, you know, same thing. Like, we want to get this done. This is our
and we
want to
get it
lifetime.
Done right.
Who else is as good? And, like, there isn't. And
yeah.
So I only know that was their story. I don't know how to go about it, but I know that they got it done, and it was a lot of legwork, and it was a few extra bucks, but they got it done, being painted by them. So.
Yeah, what a bummer. When I thought it was a joke at first, but a couple other people said, you know, they're gone. I was like, my boar mount, actually my deer mount, yeah, they're just, it's so good.
Lifelike. Yeah.
So good.
And the fish, I mean, when you look at a Lyons and O'Haver fish mount, it's like, that's what that fish looked like when it came out of the water.
Yeah. I own a sport fishing boat. I don't mount fish.
Not game.
Game.
Yeah,
yeah.
Game.
The thing I like so much about Lyons, though, is we have inside our tackle store, we have the 377,
377 was Doc Steele, wasn't it?
Kurt Weisenhutter's fish.
Okay. Kurt,
from the AXL wave,
held it for decades.
Anyways, that was the world record yellowfin for years and years and years. And excuse me for forgetting. And then we also have the 405, the first 400 pounder. So we got those two big fish hanging up on the wall. They look completely different from each other, and that's the best part about it. Those two fish look exactly how they came out of the water. One of them had those really bright lateral bars on it. The other one didn't. You know, it's just those two fish are perfect for how they were when they came out of the water. And they look, you know, they're the same. They're both yellowfin tuna, but they look distinctly different. And they were exactly how they were when they came out.
That's pretty cool.
I should know this, but did they do the 445 that came off the XL too? Or?
Lyons did, yeah. Uh-huh.
That wow. Poor fish. And, you know, I'm going to call Justin out on this one. I was on that trip when we got it. We
you
pulled
were.
That fish three times before we got to the dock.
Wow.
We pulled out of the hold, you mean?
You know, yeah, it's funny because I was on the port corner. We put a 225. I think it was Andy Markham's fish.
How big was this fish?
It was. It went 445.
Well,
still the biggest.
Caught where?
Hurricane Bank.
At Hurricane
On
Bank.
A skipjack by some guy who's never done a long-range trip.
Oh, my. Isn't that always the way it is?
Yeah. It's funny because we put this 250 on in the corner. I look over, and this thing came through the gate, and I was like, it was as wide as the trash can was tall. And Justin taped it, and he taped it. You know, he goes, I can't be right. He goes, here, you tape it. And I taped it, and I think we taped it at like 475 or something. I said, you know, that fish is closer to 500 pounds than it is before. And he goes, it can't be right. So we put it in the fish hold. We're going home the next day, and this thing's somewhere near the bottom of the port well, which is like an 8-ton fish hold. He goes, I want to pull it. I said, for what? And he goes, I want to make sure. He goes, by this time, you know, the press is involved.
People know
everybody's
about
involved.
It.
He goes, and it shrank like 7 inches. We taped it, and he goes, oh, my God, it's not going to be 400 pounds. I go, dude, it's still 400 pounds. And it did, but we pulled it again. We pulled it again the night before we got in. We were at the fuel dock, and the guy from the tuna commission came down. And that poor fish had been pulled. I think it was three times before it actually got
just
pulled.
Just getting it out of the hold must have been quite something.
Oh, and if you know frozen fish, they don't go back in the same way they
no.
come out.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, hey, phones are packed. I'll bet there's a lot of guys that want to go day and a half fishing on the tribute tonight,
lying.
For sure.
Well, let's do that. Let's jump back into them. Let's talk to Chuck. Chuck's calling us from Long Beach this morning. Hi, Chuck. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, guys. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So if I'm fortunate to win that tonight, what should I be packing and bringing, and what's the workhorse setup that I might want to use?
Everything, really. I mean, there's been some smaller grade bluefin out there. I would say anything from 25-pound test on up to the heaviest gear you have. A lot of the flatfall fishing, the sinker rig fishing, you need to have 80-pound or 100-pound.
Minimum,
have to.
Right?
You have to.
Yeah. Because it could be a 40-pounder, it could be a 300-pounder.
Or a 400-pounder. I mean, it's funny talking about all these 300-pound yellowfin and everything else. It used to be just a mind-boggling experience, and now it's like, well, our biggest bluefin last year was small, comparatively speaking, at 313. Like, it's, yeah, so you want to have 100-pound, 130-pound. If you're bringing flatfall gear, make sure you have heavy leaders. And this is something I know we've talked about over the years. We used to straight tie them on 80 or 100-pound, and they get bit off like you're fishing Wahoo.
Wow.
You're dropping them down, you get bit, you go to put it in gear, and they're gone. Those bluefin have giant teeth. So make sure you have 150-pound, 200-pound leader for your flatfall gear. But I'd say 25-pound test on up to unlimited, whatever you have.
And is that smaller grade tuna, is it line shy? Is that why you want to go down to 25?
I mean, it has been. It doesn't hurt. And you know,
smaller hooks.
It's a big boat. We I think we have like 200 rod holders or something, like something ridiculous.
Just bring it.
Bring it. Make sure that, you know, I mean, don't be one of those guys on a day and a half trip where you bring 15 rods. I mean, that,
yeah,
it does happen, and it's somewhat comical. You know, you're going to want like 5 or 6 setups. You're 25 pound, 30 pound, 40 pound, like a 50, 60 pound rod, and then a couple of heavy rods. And you want to be able to have a rod set up for fishing a sinker rig, and that's something that it's just a new day and age of fishing. You want to have a bunch of rubber bands in your tackle box, which would have sounded crazy years ago. Sinkers from 2 ounces on up to, say, 8 ounces. And fluorocarbon for all your cording line sizes from 25 pound on up to 150 pound.
What's your classic sinker rig?
Classic sinker rig.
Sinker rig, of course, is fishing like a sardine.
Yes.
Nose hook sardine with a sinker. That's what
you want to have, especially for dark time, you know, for anything after sundown, you want to have a 100 pound setup. Even if you're doing a straight 100-pound setup, you want to have 100-pound fluorocarbon, probably like a 4 to 6 ounce torpedo weight rubber banded onto your gear. The reason you rubber band it is you're cutting out a knot, for one. The least amount of knots you can have on your setup, the better. You know, so you're doing a uni or whatever your connection is to your fluoro, and then you take a standard rubber band, you loop it onto your setup. Chances are you're going to lose that, although sometimes they somehow come back to the boat. But you drop it down, and most of the stuff we're looking at, you're fishing anywhere from, got 100 to 400 feet. I mean, sometimes you're down deep. you're getting down there. That nighttime fishing, you come across some of these giant schools of bluefin, and they're anywhere from 300 to 400 feet. You want to be able to get down there. And if it's breezy, you want to have heavy sinkers, you know, 6 or 8 ounces to get down there. One of our regulars, Shane Wrightson, I mean, he just kills it. Fishing the sinker. He fishes the sinker all the time. He got our big fish last year, that 313, on a dead flying fish in a sinker rig.
Wow.
He brought his own flying
dead
fish.
Dead flying fish.
Stinky, ugly-looking flying fish, dropped it down on a sinker and caught a 313-pounder.
Did he put the wings out or anything like that?
No.
No, just straight fly line.
I mean,
flying fish.
Make total sense. I've seen a lot of fish on long-range trips. You know, I remember Neil caught a 270, you know, like wake up early in the morning. It's like still dark, hasn't cracked gray light yet, but a flyer flew onto the boat and is landing on the deck and picked that thing up, put it on a sinker rig, drop it down, got a 270. I mean, they bite those things.
Yeah.
They know what they are.
It's candy.
You know?
Oh, you know, and it's funny because it's become such a thing up here lately. There are people like, man, can you believe they eat flying fish? And I remember nights and night after night trying to catch those stupid things on long range boats. I mean, when Pat was running the Excel, we'd spend hours and hours of no sleep all night trying to catch like 2 flying fish. Some nights, I mean, especially at the Hurricane Bank, you'd get hundreds of them. They'd be flying into the boat. They were actually dangerous. You know, you get a 2-pound flying fish to come into the boat in 30 knots of wind. It'd take your eye out. But yeah, we're driving around, and down there, your biggest competition is, dolphin. Mm-hmm. You're getting ready, and you're coming up on this flying fish, and you're reaching out there, and this dolphin comes up and eats it out from under the scoop. And you're just like, it's like the sea lions.
Here's
down there.
The sea lions, yeah.
But all of a sudden, people are like, man, can you believe they eat flying fish? And it's like, well, doesn't really surprise me, but
yeah,
now it's become like they're little gold bars.
Yeah.
You know, lobster used to be considered expensive. Now they're flying fish.
Yeah. So, you know, the craziest thing,
so right.
Speaking of long range.
That, you pay more for, you're yeah, right, you pay more for a frozen flyer than you do a live lobster.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
the crazy
funny
thing, thinking about long range fishing, the craziest bait I have ever seen is a puffer fish. A live puffer,
yeah,
for a yellowfin tuna, right? I mean, and they eat them.
I love them.
Yeah.
We, if you fish Clipperton, you know that everything down there that is small enough to put in a yellowfin as bait.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whether it's those creel bass.
Rainbow runners.
Years ago, we came across a log, and it had hundreds of triggerfish and puffers on it. And we're sitting there scooping them. And you don't understand how hard something is to get off a hook until you try to take a puffer fish off. That's biting you.
Yeah.
That's biting you. Nasty. In the process. And, I mean, they're great bait. And, yeah, you're right. It's so
that's
odd.
That's the craziest
to think
thing I've ever seen.
You're floating something off a kite that looks like a little balloon.
Yeah. Well, hey, let's find out what's going on out on the water.
You got it. It's time for that fishdope.com report with a man, your saltwater guide, Captain Dave Hansen. Today, Hands and Knives are handcrafting knives in the USA for over three decades. Check out the Fish Pro series and that custom bluefin and yellowfin knife from Hands and Knives. They're made from high carbon steel, which holds a great edge, and they're easy to sharpen. Hands and Knives are the finest fillet knives ever produced. Anza also offers knives for military, law enforcement, and hunting. Check anzaknives.com for more details and get the Fish Pro series available at Fisherman's Processing. What's up, Dave Hansen?
Hey, good morning, Mike, Pete,
hey,
Rick.
Dave.
Captain Dave,
hey, guys.
What's up?
I could sit here and listen to you guys all day talk about catching big fish. Kelly and I are out here trying to catch some puffers so we can go tuna fishing right now.
Attaboy.
Load
yeah.
them up.
No, the roosters are biting good, so we're out here rooster fishing again. I don't know if you saw that picture of Kelly with the rooster the other day.
That was her first rooster?
Yep, first one ever. Now
nice.
She's addicted. That's all she wants to do.
Oh, yeah, no. But rooster fishing is fun.
Oh, yeah, and there's no swell. It's flat glassy. It's 85 degrees. The water's 81. It's pretty bitching here right now.
Sweet.
But let's talk about SoCal. Like Mike was saying, I don't see this bluefin leaving. I don't know, like he said, no one knows what it's eating. We know there's a lot of bait, but it doesn't make any sense because you don't see any. Everybody I talk to, they see nothing in their stomachs. I know about 3 years ago, we saw a lot of red crabs in their stomachs, but now it's weird. There's squid all over at Catalina. It just showed up. Now that the water got cold, I talked to a couple of lifeboat guys. There's some squid on the front, and there's some squid on the back. Not enough yet for the commercial guys, but there's a little bit there for bait, and that's going to bode well for like what Mark was talking about, that deeper yellowtail all over the backside of Catalina now that there's some squid there. But that water's kind of cold, so I don't know if you'll see any sea bass. Like Brian Woolley was saying, the water on the coast is in the upper 50s, which we haven't seen for quite a few years, so definitely something's changing. But then, you know, we could throw the history books in the trash. Like Mike was saying an hour or so ago, 66-degree water catching Dorado. Nothing makes sense to any of us that have been doing this for a couple of days now. If you could throw away everything. I mean, we just saw 35 knots of wind for 3 days, and the day it quit blowing, like Ricky said, they started biting again. I just think these fish are just loving Southern California, and they just don't want to leave. They just want to hang out here. And
would
like
not
Mike
want
was
to
saying, we'll probably run out of people before we run out of fish, just like we have the last few years. There's just so much fish to be caught. The problem is right now, though, is it's going to start getting darker earlier, and the days are going to get real short. So take advantage of that trip.
That actually bodes well for these day and a half trips.
It's been one of the few times when you're stoked about it because that flat fall fishing has been so much better in the low light and no light conditions. It's one of the few times that you're licking your chops waiting for it to get dark. You know?
Some of those night bites have been just ridiculous.
That's so cool.
Like everybody's hungry.
And you can fish with the rope. And you can fish the heavy.
You know, sleep throughout the day, and it's like some of those hurricane bank trips.
Exactly.
Sleep all day, and then you wake up at sundown, and you break out the heavy gear, and you do it right.
Like Pete Grospec calls it, vampire fishing. Yeah.
Pete Grospec doesn't fish at night.
No, he doesn't fish vampire.
Nighttime
fishing.
Is for sleeping, is what he always says.
Pete Grospec says. But if you want to catch a big bluefin right now, you got to get up
probably
and get
not
that,
a bad call.
That flatfall.
That's it.
Hey, of course, fishdope.com has all the stuff, whether it be daytime, nighttime, Catalina, Clemente, the coast, up and down the coast. Fish Dope has it all, temperature charts, current charts, everything is on there at fishdope.com. For one low price for an annual membership, but wait, there's more. $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space, $20 off for your fishdope.com $20 discount. And Dave, how do we find you?
All right, gang. Perfect segue to Pete Grospec. I just did a bitchin' three-part interview with Pete. It just posted on my website, yoursaltwaterguide.com. Pete's been doing this for quite a while. You get him in the studio there once in a while. He has phenomenal stories. Well, I got to sit down with him and talk to him and got it all on the website. So check it out at yoursaltwaterguide.com. Also, Pete, after last year was such a great year of the gift certificate, we started the gift certificate program. Send us an email at yoursaltwaterguide.com. Kelly will get you out a gift certificate for one of your family members or somebody you know to become a member of Your Saltwater Guide. That way you don't have to follow Mike Pritchard around anymore. You can actually find your own fish.
Hey, perfect. All right. Captain Dave, appreciate that very much, and we will talk to you next Sunday.
All right, guys. Thanks for letting me be on. I'll see you next Sunday.
Bye. Get a big rooster. Yeah. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. The phone lines are absolutely packed solid. If you want to get your shot, it's 833-288-0973. More Let's Talk Hookup coming for you when we return with the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network.
This is Captain Art Taylor of the Searcher. 2020 is the golden anniversary of Cape Polaris and Searcher. Come help us celebrate 50 amazing years in sport fishing. Searcher has a great crew, awesome food, air-conditioned cabins and galley, and an RSW system to preserve your catch. Our 2020 schedule is available now, so this is a golden opportunity to make your reservation online at SearcherSportFishing.com or call Celia or Callie at 619-226-2403.
Rock Cod Rick here for West Coast Marine and Parker Boats. You see them all over Southern California waters. Parker Boats at the launch ramp, the offshore islands. You wake up in the morning on an overnight trip and there they are. Parker Boats of all size fishing in the same area as the sporties. There's a good reason for it. Fishability and seaworthiness. Of all the boats out there, my boat partner and I chose to get a brand new 25 Parker center console from Kevin Kelly and the gang at West Coast Marine, and I could not be happier. Wow, what a fishing machine. Parker Marine builds a heavy-duty, industrial-strength boat, probably overbuilt. But that's why so many 4- and 6-pack charters choose to operate Parkers. We thank the guys at Pinnacle Sport Fishing, Season Sport Fishing, One Man Charters, Black and Blue Sport Fishing for their confidence in Parker boats. Take it from me, if you are ready for a new Parker at a fair, upfront, and honest deal, you need to see Kevin Kelly at West Coast Marine, located at 1555 Newport Boulevard in Costa Mesa, or check out their inventory and information at westcoastmarine.com.
Your vacation bucket list can't be completed without visiting the Katmai Lodge, Alaska this summer, a world-class wilderness fishing paradise on the banks of the famed Alaknak River. Get in the action fishing for all 5 species of Pacific salmon, king, sockeye, chum, coho, plus trophy-sized rainbow trout, Arctic grayling, and Dolly Varden, both in the Alaknak and nearby waters. Katmai Lodge's Coast Guard and CPR-certified guides are fly fishing fanatics and know how to help you reel them in, ensuring your days are fish-filled while you enjoy freshly prepared snacks and barbecued lunches on the river. Back at the lodge, enjoy fireside appetizers and refreshments each afternoon. Delicious dinner prepared by the lodge's exceptional chef. Take a quick fly-out trip to Brooks Falls in Katmai National Park for world-renowned bear watching. And check out our trout fishing specials at katmai.com. That's KATMAI.com. Katmai.com.
22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro is home to LA's finest open party fleet, including overnights on the Freedom, Catalina Freelance on the Pursuit, half-day trips on the Monte Carlo, and three-quarter-day trips on the Native Sun. Plus, you can charter the Ultra, Spectra, and True Line. There's always plenty of free parking and a fully stocked tackle store. Take advantage of the Wednesday specials on the Pursuit and Monte Carlo, and kids fish free with a paid adult on the afternoon half-day. 22nd Street Landing Sport Fishing in San Pedro. Call 310-832-8304 or book online at 22ndstreet.com.
Pete here to tell you about our friends Jim and Mary and their incredible crew at Poway Valley Collision. I hear it all the time. Hey, I took my car to Poway Valley Collision, and you were right. Mentioned you guys, and they gave us the VIP treatment, fixed our car, and even gave us a special price. Believe me when I say, Poway Valley Collision is worth the drive from anywhere in the Southland. We know you may not need them now, but when accidents happen, it pays to go to Poway Valley Collision. And I'm not fooling. Our listeners can save hundreds of dollars $1,000 on your car or truck repair. They work with most insurance companies, including Auto Club, MetLife, and Wawanisa, and more. All you do is call Jim, Mary, or any of their team members, and they do all the rest. No hassles, just top-notch work and VIP treatment. I had my car repaired at Poway Valley Collision, and the job was perfect. So get your vehicle fixed right at Poway Valley Collision, 14211 Garden Road in Poway. Check PowayValleyCollision.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, man. Having a great time here this morning. Talking fishing. Phone lines are packed, dude.
Yeah, and great text came through. A lot of great texts. And we want to thank you. And again, you can text the show only on the Let's Talk Hookup app. Just download our free app at the Google Play or the App Store. And it's free. And that's the only way you can text the show. We can't respond to you, but we sure appreciate all the texts that come through. We can't get through all of them, but a lot of great ones this morning. And this is interesting because you talked about the speed of the Tribute. How fast does the boat go, and how many gallons of fuel do you hold?
That's a good question.
Yeah, we hold about 2,300 gallons of fuel. It's funny to consider anything fast on the water unless you're talking about fast. For a sport boat, we have no problem cruising at 11 knots. We max out at right about 14 and a half, 15 knots, which for a sport boat's fast.
That's
but we had
that's a lot.
We had some trips this year where it came into play where something crazy, 103 miles on a one-day trip. We had limits of Dorado, and you know, you get down there and no offense to some of the other boats, but when you're looking at a boat and you're fishing far, you're looking at doing a Cortez or Tanner on a one-day trip. There's boats that can't do it. They just physically cannot do it. You're looking at nine and a half knot boats. My boat's always been considered quick as far as sport boats go.
So you're cruising tonight out to the Cortez. How fast?
10 and a half knots is no problem. 11 knots is no problem.
Wow.
And you know, it's funny at that.
You're burning efficiently.
We're burning about 8 gallons an hour per engine.
It's
a very efficient boat. Similar size boats, I know, like the Ranger 85, the Queen, some of those boats are to do that, which they can. You know, they're quick boats too, but they're burning, you know, 10 gallons an hour per engine. We're burning 7.5 gallons an hour per engine.
And how much fuel do you hold?
Like I said, about 2,200 gallons.
2,200 gallons. So you can go a long way.
Yeah, and it's one of those things for us to kick it up and have to get out there. If we're burning 10 gallons an hour per engine, we're doing 11 and a half knots. So you're looking at doing a 93-mile trip and doing it in, you know, 7.5 hours instead of 10 hours.
Yeah. So if you're burning it at 14 knots, how much fuel you burn?
Yeah, it gets disgusting. You're looking at like 25 gallons an hour per engine.
Yeah, for three extra knots.
When we repowered a few years ago, those John Deere's, when they came into the sea trial on them, the tech goes, all right, go ahead and kick it up to cruising speed. And I said, we're doing 11 knots. This is a good cruising speed. And he goes, no, kick it up like if you're just normally cruising. And I said, we are. And he goes, well, you only got a 25% load on the engines. You can't do this. We need to see 100% load. And we still can't get it. Like, I think our max load's right around 90%, and, you know, 14 and a half knots, and you're burning 50 gallons an hour. It's not worth the extra couple of knots.
Yeah, no way.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's a good way to clean out your injectors. That's about it. Or polish your fuel tanks, however you want to look at it. But for us to do 11 knots is not any kind of an issue. And when you're looking at fishing, you know, 80, 90 miles, that's the difference of doing it or not doing it. So when you're looking at some of these longer one-day trips, you want to be on a boat that's not doing nine knots. I mean,
yeah. No, that's cool. It's just another great asset.
Right?
You know, and Mike from Lake Forest, Texas, you know, talking about the Dittmars again, and there's a lot of Dittmar fans out there. He said another great Dittmar Donaldson is the Western Pride out of Davies Locker, captained by Michael Hawkins. So that's a sister ship to the San Diego, and I didn't know that.
Well, it's funny because the only difference, and John Yamati is the one who told me, he goes, you know, the only difference between your boat and the San Diego is a plank, which is about right. You're looking at the boat's a few feet longer.
Yeah.
We are all mahogany as opposed to, you know, oak some of the boats were built differently, but it's the same platform. It's got basically one other plank. It's a little bit higher out of the water, a lot more house than obviously the San Diego is, but what great fishing platforms.
Yeah,
I mean, they're fishy boats.
Oh, yeah. Well, Searcher. I mean, Captain Art Taylor, who's, by the way, Art announced yesterday that he's doing some special day-and-a-half trips Thursday afternoon. It's like a extended day-and-a-half. It's like a day-and-three-quarter, leaving at 11 a.m., and he's going to be fishing Thursday for Friday, and then Sunday I believe, Saturday for Sunday fishing and back Monday. Both of those are at fishermanslanding.com. You want to go on the searcher on an extended day and a half.
Big boat, nice boat to be in.
Oh, yeah,
and
great
it's
boat.
Not something we've really done, but those trips are great if the fish are biting at night because you're getting there at
you're getting
time.
Early.
You get 2 nights.
Yeah.
I mean, what a good guy to fish with.
No, Art's the best. Yeah, for sure. Well, let's jump into those jam-packed phones.
Everybody's dying to talk to Mike. Let's talk to Brian calling us from San Diego this morning. What's up, Brian? Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Just giving you a little report. Just got back from a day and a half on the Pegasus. Planned to fish some bluefin, but with all the weather out there, we ended up going down to fish some yellowfin and yellowtail. Good fishing off kelp patties. Tons of yellowfin. Had a lot of fun catching them on cold snipers and even got a couple of yellowtail on little SP minnows. Lots of fun. Good times out there in the Pegasus. Hopefully the weather cools down or calms down and everyone can get back out to the tanner and get some more bluefin. We're headed back home now, and we're going to go ahead and pull off the next exit here so we can be sure to get on that that trip we're going to win with Captain Mike. So appreciate it.
Jason, or Whitey's a good guy to fish with. Yeah. He's in our code group. Talked to him yesterday, and that's one nice thing. Our trips are advertised bluefin, specifically. And the day before, after having that kind of yellowfin fishing, it's really hard not to roll in there and try to fish it. But we did. A lot of guys came out just to fish for bluefin on that trip, so we gave them a full rain check or refund and get them back out. But yeah, it's great that you guys got to take advantage of it. And talking to Jason, it sounded like you guys, had some decent weather compared to where we were.
Indeed. Hey, cool. Good luck winning the trip. Thanks a lot for the phone call today.
Cool text just came through. This one says, when fishing for bluefin based on the distance that you need to travel, what's the difference in your fishing time with the extra half day, meaning a day versus a day and a half?
Oh, that kind of fishing, it's the world. You get to fish daylight till dark or... In some of these cases, several hours after dark. I mean, there's been trips where we're fishing till 10 o'clock at night. Another good time to be on a quicker boat. You can fish for several hours after dark. You're still getting in around 6 o'clock in the morning. But you fish, in most cases, daylight or sunrise till sundown. And then if there's flatfall fish to be had. On these one-day trips lately, though, you're fishing close enough to where you're almost fishing till dark.
So a traditional overnight trip, you leave, you leave later in the evening, you sleep on the boat, you fish the next day, most of the day, and then at some point, depending on how far down you are, you turn around in the latter part of the afternoon to drive home to get off the boat that night. Day and a half trip, you get on the boat a little earlier in the evening, sleep on the boat out to the fishing grounds, fish from sunup until dark, and then you travel home at night again while you're asleep. So you're traveling while you're sleeping.
The majority of your traveling, you don't even know about your sleep.
Right.
It really is. It's a great setup. On our one-day trips this year, I mean, the amount of time we've been fishing within 40 miles of home has become a thing. When I first started one-day fishing down here, you're fishing the Inner Bank, you're fishing the 10-10, you're fishing 50, 60, 70 miles, 80 miles from home. The majority of our fishing on one-day trips now is so close to where you're talking about a three-hour ride. We've, fished till dark on some of these one-day trips lately.
That's crazy.
That's pretty awesome. Yep. Well, let's go ahead and jump into those jam-packed phones.
Sounds good, buddy. Fred calling us from out in Idaho. Listen on that Let's Talk Hookup app is up next. What's up, Fred?
Oh, it's fabulous. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Fred.
Listen, I have two things. First of all, I would like to commend Captain Richard there for his safety and coming in early, because I know I've been on a couple of nasty trips, and they just stuck it out and we're pitching and yawing and what have you. It's rough. But anyhow, I do appreciate the safety thing. The second thing I'd like to talk about is the fact, here I am in my garage. I'm going on a trip, and I want to mark my line for bluefin and fishing a flatfall. How do you go about doing that when you don't have a line winder at your house and you want to mark your lines off at 50-foot increments?
It sounds like you probably have a lot of real estate to play with out there. So you can mark it out, lay it out in the grass and, you know, mark it down. Take a permanent marker and mark your spectra in whatever kind of increments you want. But without a line winder, I mean, honestly, if you're good at it, you can just kind of visualize. It doesn't have to be within the foot. But a lot of the stuff that we're doing, you're looking at fish that are 300, 400 feet down. There's a lot more that goes into it. It's how much wind do you have? How much current do you have? Where's your sinker or your flatfall at after a couple of minutes of drifting? So, you know, you're going to try to mark it to where you have a good idea and mark it well past that. You know, mark it, if you can, mark it well past 300 feet, you know, 400 feet. If we're drifting and there's, you know, 15 knots of breeze and there's some current, after a few minutes, you're not at 150 or 200 feet anymore. You're probably 80 feet up on, you know, in the water column just because of how much drag's on the line.
Easiest way to go about it is to take a spare reel that you have that doesn't have line on it and wind it. So you've got your rod and reel that you're planning on fishing a flat fall on. Tie that to another rod and reel that has no line on it. You know, most households, you're going to have at least a 25-foot tape measure. So you can mark that distance in your garage, down your driveway, roll out 25 feet, and then wind it back onto the reel. You can make a mark every 25, or you can, you know, just do that distance twice and make a mark every 50 feet. And then you're just winding it off onto a reel, so you're not having to worry about all that line.
And you want to get it on there tight too.
Yeah, and that way your line's not laying on the deck getting all knotted up. And now when you've got your 300 or 400 or 500 feet, however you are, all marked up, you can then put the drag up on your, you know, on your donor reel and wind it back onto your reel under drag pressure. Keep it nice and tight.
There you go. Good advice. Hey, thanks a lot. Hope that helps up there. But maybe you have a deep lake in Idaho there. You can go drop a
well, that's
sinker in or something like
anywhere
that.
Anywhere
right?
East of California, you probably have some. Yeah, you know, you got a 100-foot lawn, or
yeah,
you know, you're go market next to your toy hauler.
That was our there you go. That was before we bought those, you know, killer electric reels. That was our poor man's marking for swordfish fishing. When we wanted to know how, you know, when we wanted to make a drop and when we wanted to have our bait hanging at 900 feet, we just drove out to 900 feet of water and dropped it down until we hit the bottom, and then marked it up that way, and then wound it back onto the reel. Like, all right, well, now,
oh, that's 900 feet.
All right, I'll drop it down. You wind it up.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, now we push buttons. It's really sweet.
Thanks a lot for the call.
All right, how about next up is Mo calling us from Vista this morning. Hi, Mo. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys. I got a couple questions, one for Rick and one for Mike. Rick, why do they gill and gut the big tunas before they put them in the bag? And Mike, how deep can you fish rockfish at Cortez or Tanner?
Those are both Mike questions.
Yeah.
We're still limited to 40 fathoms at Cortez and Tanner. They're changing things around. That 75-fathom area in specific zones has really opened up a lot. And you're talking about, we had a dock ski 3.5-day trip last year, and there was some bluefin around and there's some yellowtail around, but they were very interested in doing some of the rock fishing. I don't remember how many cowcod we released in 40 fathoms of water.
Wow.
I mean, it shows how much of a comeback they made, big lingcod.
And that's why Cortez and Tanner are cowcod conservation zones.
Yeah, just like
so
the 60. There's some areas that when they open that up to 75 fathoms, you're going to see world-class rockfish fishing come back. And being from Ventura County, I mean, used to fish rockcod up there 9 months out of the year. And
yeah,
but now it's, you know, there's sea bass and all kinds of neat fish up there.
So the new regulations are, other than cowcod's conservation zones, that you can fish 75 fathoms?
Yeah, which it's funny because in today's day and age, you tell some of your passengers you're dropping in 70 fathoms and some of them put their rods down and go, that's still shallow.
Yeah.
We were doing some of those Colinette trips and we were drifting along and we're catching big reds and just really good fishing, and people start complaining. When people start complaining, I go up and look at the fish finder and I'm like, oh, we're in 130 fathoms. So I guess you guys should probably wind up. You can't hit the bottom anymore.
Yeah, indeed.
But hey, and then as far as the reason you gill and gut big bluefin is to cool down the inside of the fish faster. Usually fish under 100 pounds, if they're biting, we put them in. We try to get them in the RSW as soon as we can. Bigger fish you gill and gut so you can cool down the inside of the body cap as well as the outside without trying to cool down the you know, whatever's in their stomach, their gill. You get rid of all that and they cool down much, much quicker and preserve the fish a lot better.
There you go. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
Hey, this brings up a fun text which you had mentioned before, and this is from our buddy Hills in Ventura. It says, Ventura is a small town that sure has produced a lot of great captains. Can you speak to it and why Ventura is such a good place to learn fishing?
Ventura used to be a small town.
Yeah.
It's like why I bought a house in Santee. It used to be a small town.
Yeah.
You know, that's a darn good question. I mean, between, Sean Stewart, the Kavanaughs, I mean, it really has Mike Ramirez. The list goes on and on. There's a lot of really good captains that came from there, and I'm sure a lot of it is, spinoffs. Well, the first guy I ever pinheaded for was Bill Kavanaugh.
Wow.
I was 10.
Really?
Yeah, wow. And same thing. I mean, you know, it's some great captains out there, the Velasquez, Dennis Evans, a guy that I worked for as a kid. I mean, your competition is going to have a basis on how your crew is. The Mings on the Pacific Eagle, Joe V on the Mirage. Like, there's a lot of great captains up there, and for them to, they produce good crew members.
It's a diverse fishery, too. I mean, all the different islands and offshore opportunities up there, it's a training ground.
It's funny because you look at it, like I was saying, we didn't used to catch yellowtail up there. Sea bass fishing, at least when I was up there, was virtually non-existent. You catch them on occasion. I moved down here, and they have days where, Tucker, another great captain, owns the Endeavor now. I know he had trips on the Mirage where he had limits of sea bass and limits of halibut on the anchor, and I'm like, I didn't ever get to see anything like that. But yeah,
and you grew up in Ventura?
Yeah. I went to Ventura High, Cabrillo as a junior high, and worked out of Port Wayne. We worked on the Mirage and the Pacific Eagle for years. And the Mings Mike Mings still owns the Pacific Eagle. They fish with me all the time. And it's, just a really diverse area. I mean, you're talking about fishing albacore up there in I think it was 95, where outside of Point Conception and Arguello, where you're fishing in 12 to 15 foot seas at times. And I come down here when I was working for Ray Sobiak on the producer, and he goes, "What do you think of this weather?" I go, "That's breezy." it's not that bad. He goes, "No, this is bad." Yeah. What we saw yesterday morning was getting
that
bad.
That was like Northern California weather.
Yeah, when
your old Ventura has gotten out of you enough that Santee took over and you brought her on back home.
We were next to Gavin on the Pacific Queen, another big boat, and we're both idling into it at 5.5 knots. And at one point, Tyler, one of my new upcoming captains, he goes, "I just saw the keel of the Pacific Queen." I go, "That's probably a bad sign."
Yeah.
we turned around, and a couple of minutes later, Gavin calls me. He goes, "Well, we just had to pull it out of gear, and the swell completely stopped the boat. We're following you. We're going in."
Yeah, good decision.
Right call.
Hey, all right. Hey, thanks a lot for the text. Appreciate that, Hills. Let's go ahead and jump back in the phones.
Sounds good. John and Escondido's up next on Let's Talk Hookup. What's up, John? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Hey, Mike, my question for you is, come January, February, will you normally go down to Colonnette and fish? Will you still be doing that? And then if the bluefin are still around, go do the Cortez and stuff like you have in the past years? And it's just kind of like when you book your trip, you just have to check and see where you're going to go?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to get away from that wintertime bluefin fishing because it's been so good. I think it was 2015. I know because I just had bicep surgery, and I was trying to plan it around not having to be on the boat, and our February bluefin fishing was phenomenal. We were one of the only boats doing it. And
I remember that.
You're catching them on a sinker rig and a dead squid like you're fishing for whitefish. And
really?
It's going to be really hard not to do that, but I know there's been really big demand. I know Seeker has approached me, so has Akuma and Plagic as far as doing some Colonnette trips. People miss fishing rockfish, and I'm one of them.
I love fishing
bluefin during the winter is awesome, but we are definitely going to try to get some of those trips together. Definitely high demand. We had some great lingcod fishing on the first few years that I owned the boat. We had limits of lingcod like five trips in a row at Colonnette.
Sweet.
Which you're talking about a five fish limit, not a couple.
Yeah.
So we're going to try to get some of those in the schedule. Like I said, there's going to be some neat sponsored trips coming up from Seeker, Akuma, and Pelagic as far as those go. So,
and where do we get the information on that? Is it your website?
I need to go home and put something online now. But it'll be through TributeSportFishing.com, you'll be able to look at it through Seaforth Landing. But there has been Fred from Seekers asked me, "Do you want to do a sponsored 2.5 day Colonnette trip?" And I really need to kind of focus on some of that and get out of this bluefin fishing. But it's really hard to when they're
We have to go bluefin tuna fish and try and catch a 400 pounder, right?
I said that the other day, and I was talking to Junior on the Old Glory. It was like, He had a after he had limits, they went and got they had another stop where there was more yellowfin. And he said one of his passengers was complaining. He goes, "Oh, these stupid yellowfin." I was like, "Yeah, you know, middle of November, it must suck to really complain about it, trying to run away from yellowfin."
Yeah. That's awesome, man. Hey, when we come back, we're gonna find out who's going fishing on the trip. We got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network.
When it comes to Southern California sport fishing, two names stand out: Fisherman's Landing Tackle and Shimano. Hi, this is Doug Kern. We have the most complete selection of Shimano saltwater rods and reels, like Talica, Trinidad, and Tranx reels, plus Terramar and Therez rods. Our professional saltwater experts at Fisherman's Landing Tackle have the know-how to help you choose the right Shimano rod and reel for your next trip. When it comes to Shimano gear, you owe it to yourself to visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego, or on the web at saltwatertackle.com. Fisherman's Landing is the top choice in local and long-range fishing. Our hard-working crew is always looking for ways to improve your fishing experience. We offer the finest open party trips, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet. Fisherman's Landing is now a full-service sport fishing operation, offering great half- and full-day open party trips. Book online at fishermanslanding.com. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know: CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the Long Range Vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. A spring 8-day, a summer 5-day, or a fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
A top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, El Gato Dos, Pride, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth, Sea-Watch, and San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open party schedule, check Seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
All right, it's time. The big winner going fishing on the Tribute. And, man, just call in sick. Do what you got to do that day and a half tonight. But if you can't, the overnight's coming your way. The big winner is Bud in San Diego. Bud, congratulations, man.
Yeah.
Bud,
I
hope you can fish with Buzz.
But,
yeah. Hey, man, it's going around, yeah, Bud. You better be safe. Yeah, you can't be too cautious these days.
Bring your mask, but you got this.
Yeah,
good
indeed.
Luck, Bud.
Well, hey, congratulations. Thanks for all the people texting today and all the callers.
Show.
Great show. And Mike, thanks to you. I really want to extend a big thank you. You know, practically every week or every other week, you're calling us and giving us the On the Water report. People love, all the things that Let's Talk Hook
all
Up,
the time.
Everybody loves to hear from On the Water, hear that sonar clicking in the background, and you're the guy that always does it.
Well, I just, same thing as a kid. You know, like, you look forward to every chance you get. I mean, years ago, running the Excel, you know, you get on and you do your daily report, and you have people, you know, comment or email you, and they're like, "Man, I'm living vicariously through you until I get on that trip next year." And it's the same thing. I mean, if you're getting ready to go fishing and you got a trip coming up and you have somebody call in on the water, limits of yellowfin at 10 o'clock in the morning, whatever it is, or they're pulling on a bunch of big bluefin, it gets the blood going. And
people love it.
Not everything has to be on the internet. Like, a good old fashioned phone call and an on the water report. Like,
absolutely.
I get it. My biggest problem is when we're in a bite and I realize it's at 9:50. And I didn't call him.
Dang.
Like,
yeah.
And it's.
Well, we appreciate it.
Sometimes
you got to
hop off the bait tank and get on the phone.
Well, keep it up. And you do such a great job. Somebody wants to go fishing tonight. There's still some spots available, I believe, right? I mean,
We'll see here. There's going to be two spots left. As long as. I wonder, do you think Bud's got his best friend calling?
Well, let's see what, well, let's see what happens. We'll call Bud right after the show.
Yes, there's seven spots. Weather looks phenomenal. Captain Buzz is going to be running the boat. You can call the landing 619-224-3383. You can book through seaforthlanding.com. If you have a bunk preference, which we talked about, give the landing a call and pick out that bunk.
And then what about the rest of the week? Are you you're going to be running while there's it's good weather all week, pretty much?
Yes. Tuesday night, we have a day and a half. Thursday night's a one-day, and those one-day trips have been great. So,
yeah.
I mean, Friday night's going to be sold out. I think there is only a few spots left on that.
Yeah.
So, great week of weather, and,
get
on the phone, give Marcos a call, and,
get on the tribute.
Yep.
Yeah, to Seaforth Landing. Absolutely. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that, and thanks for the generosity of the trip, too. Thank you for listening today. Thanks to Dave in the studio, and, of course, Adam, our app man. He always does such a great job. We sure appreciate everything Adam does. And next Saturday, Kevin Kelly from West Coast Marine. We're going to be talking Parker boats and a lot more with Kevin, Yamaha outboards and more. And then next Sunday, surf fishing expert Bill Varney will be here. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you next week right back here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network.